Hello, and thank you for joining us today for the sermon on the weekly Sabbath. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study, and today we'll be taking a look at the road to happiness. On Monday, we'll start the Feast of Tabernacles, and for the 7 days, and on the eighth day, we'll be looking at this future time of the kingdom of God when happiness will be established and firmly implanted here on earth. Today, we're living in man's world, a time when there's still a lot of evil because we're influenced by Satan the devil. And so today, we're not living in that future time of happiness, but rather we're on that road to happiness. And so what does this time of happiness mean for us in the future? And more importantly, how do we get from where we are now to that future time of happiness? As we begin taking a look at the concept of happiness, we'll also be reading many passages that have the word blessed. And all you need to know is that the word blessed very simply means happiness or happy. For instance, the Hebrew word that's transliterated esher simply means happy, and the Greek word makarios also means happy. Esher and makarios are words that are commonly translated as blessed in various translations of the Bible. So we'll begin today's sermon by taking a look at the book of Psalms. You'll notice in this particular sermon, we'll take a look a little bit more at the writings of the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, maybe a little bit in the book of Proverbs, some in Ecclesiastes. We'll also be taking a look at other parts of the Bible so that we can better understand what our road to happiness may be. So in Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So in other words, when we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or follow the way of sinners, or follow the ways of the scornful, we will be happy. So happiness is a choice for us. And it is something that we do, something that is not necessarily given to us. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So, part of our path or road to happiness is understanding the law of God and meditating on the law of God day and night. And as Christians, we're looking at the New Testament application of the laws of God. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. And so just like a beautiful tree along the banks of a river, that's what we'll be like. So we think of a fully blossoming tree as being very healthy, and we will be very healthy mentally as we are happy. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we know from this particular passage in the first psalm that people who are ungodly are going to be blown away by the first challenge that comes up in their life. And we know that that's not who we want to be as a person. When we look to the writing of some of the prophets, we can look to Isaiah. Isaiah 26 and beginning in verse 1. Isaiah 26 and beginning in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so as we conclude verse 4, as a reminder, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And when we look at this particular verse, we know that the righteous nation is the nation which keepeth truth. And so we start thinking of ourselves as being very loyal to God because we are keeping His ways. And in this future time, we will enter into this future happy place. Mankind has thought about peace and happiness probably since the very Garden of Eden. I think the serpent was able to trick Eve into taking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by simply appealing to a very natural desire to have a better life in the future. And most people will think that the more knowledge you have, the more likely you are to have a better quality of life. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of those books that records both the good and the bad of life. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll take a look at two verses that tell us a little bit about what is ideal for people. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 12. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So there's nothing good about us as a person, but it is good for us to be able to rejoice, to celebrate, to be happy, to do good in our life. Verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And so as we're going about our life and doing our work, there's a lot of physical exertion and mental exertion that we do to complete the tasks before us. And we do all of that for reasons that may be slightly different for each of us. But in the end, each of us should be able to enjoy the good of all of our labor. Whether that labor is for ourselves if we are single, whether it is for our family, if we have children and a spouse, all of what we are given and the ability to enjoy what we have done through our work is a gift of God. And so we can never take for granted when we have the opportunity to earn money and to work, because for anyone who's ever lost a job or has struggled to find work, people who've had those times in their life know exactly how frustrating it can be to try and find the next job or even the first job. It's truly a gift from God when you not only get to physically or mentally exert yourself, but when, as a result of what you've done, you get to spoil yourself and your family to pay for your own way. And really, that's one of the big important blessings that we have by obeying God. One of the big verses and chapters in the New Testament that talks about happiness is found within the Sermon on the Mount. If you will, the Beatitudes. And we'll take a look at Matthew 5, beginning with verse 1. Here Jesus gives a lot of instructions during one of his sermons, and in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And so Jesus was getting ready to speak to the people, and he recognized, wow, I've got a pretty good crowd. So let me get to a point where I am above them. And, you know, in political campaigns, there are people who will give what they call a stump speech. And originally a stump speech was a speech that was given from a tree stump. so that the person who is speaking would be slightly elevated above the people who might be listening. And so that's a very similar concept that Jesus was doing here, was he got up to a slightly higher point so that he could be seen, so that he could speak to the people listening to him. And his disciples also came to him on that slightly higher place. Verse 2, and Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, the word blessed here could also mean happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So people tend to be happy when they don't have a very high opinion of themselves. People who have a very high opinion of themselves tend to be the people who are most worried about not meeting expectations. People who have a very high opinion of themselves are always concerned what their reputation is. And I think it's important for everyone to have a very good reputation within our community, but I think there's some people who are worried too much about their fame and fortune instead of just being happy. And you're happy when you're poor in spirit, when you don't see yourself as being high and mighty. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so mourning is a process. And the sad part about life is that there are tragedies in life. You have people who die that you know, and you mourn. But the reason you mourn for people who have died in your life is because those people have brought you joy and happiness during your life. And because you have the ability to have joy and happiness brought to you through interaction with other people, you will be comforted through life. And so, even though mourning is a time of sadness, it's also a pathway, an indication of your potential for this happiness. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, the meek are people who don't see themselves as being the high and the mighty. There are people who see themselves as the elite, the rich, the people who can do no wrong, or who can buy their way out of trouble. You know, as I'm giving this sermon, there are many people who are finding themselves having to do deals with prosecuting attorneys or facing prison time because they were active in bribery schemes to get their children into these elite colleges and universities. In some cases, they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in some cases, maybe even more than that. And we're not going to be happy by trying to lie our way into success. Instead, we are happy when we recognize that we're very limited in who and what we can do. And the reward for us is to inherit the earth. You know, we think of this kingdom of God as being this kingdom in heaven. We'll learn during the Feast of Tabernacles that God will bring himself and Jesus to live here on earth. And so when this verse says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, well, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth, and oh, they will also be living with God and with Jesus Christ on the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The laws of God are not designed to punish us. Instead, they are designed to lead us to this future time of happiness. That's why it says in verse 6, blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for we will have our happiness filled. That's the beauty of the law of God. is it's a pathway for us to be happy. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, if we are merciful, we will be happy. You know, those who extend mercy, they do not hold grudges. Those who extend mercy are kind and forgiving. And so people who tend to be kind and forgiving are those who tend to receive the benefits of kindness and forgiveness. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so we're happy when our heart is pure. And when our heart is pure and our heart is not corrupted by Satan, when our motives are not compromised, at some future point, when it is our time to be resurrected in God's kingdom, we will see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And in our present world, a lot of people don't understand what a peacemaker is. Certain weapons have been called peacemakers. Well, a weapon is not a peacemaker. There have been people who have worked within the realm of politics who have negotiated peace treaties, and sometimes these peace treaties simply didn't work out, yet these people were called peacemakers. A peacemaker is somebody who establishes peace, and the people who are the peacemakers, those who establish peace, will be known as the children of God. Peace can be made at the very largest of levels between nations, and it can be made at the very smallest of levels between individuals. It doesn't make any difference in which level you make peace. Most of us will make peace between people. And so whenever there's a conflict, whenever we are having difficulty with another person, we are blessed when we pursue peace with the other person. And we are blessed when we make peace with the other person. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if we are going to be obeying God in this earth that is under the influence of Satan the devil, we will be at odds with this world at many different times. And it should be no surprise to us when we are persecuted for our beliefs. It's very important for us to remember that we will be happy in the end because we will remain loyal to God, to Jesus Christ, and our beliefs. Nobody is happy if they are a hypocrite. Rejected by this world, we will be given the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which we will learn during the Feast of Tabernacles, will come down here to earth. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So people will lie. People will lie to harm us. And they will lie to harm us to bring harm to God's name. And they will do that without regard to what harm they may bring on us. And here Jesus tells us that when we are hated for our beliefs, when we are persecuted for our beliefs, when people lie about us to demean our beliefs and God and the kingdom of God, we will be blessed. We will be happy because we will not compromise who we are. People who compromise who they are never happy. And we will remain happy now and we will be happy into this future kingdom of God. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As we suffer here on earth, God does not ignore our suffering. God may choose to intervene. God may choose not to intervene based upon His plan for us and what is best for His plan of salvation for this earth and how we fit into it. We are all instruments of God's hand, and just like a carpenter can use a hammer or a saw to work with woodwork, God will work with each of us in whatever way He feels is best. And so we have to have faith, and we do have to trust God as He works with us in our life. Let's go back to the Old Testament and take a look in the book of Psalms. We started by looking at the first psalm. Now we'll begin by looking at the first few verses of the 37th psalm. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So we will see people doing bad things in our life. We should never worry about the bad things, nor should we want to become like the people who do bad things. Many young people see the social media influencers in the world. And some of these people have done questionable things in their life. We should never want to be envious of people who do questionable things in their life. We should choose to follow God. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. People who are evildoers, people who are workers of iniquity, will not last. They do not have the blessing of God, and they at some point will come to nothing. There's no need for us to worry about them or to be envious of these people. These people will come to nothing. There's this game show in America that says outwit, outlast, outplay. That's sort of what we need to do when we think of these people who are evildoers and workers of iniquity. We need to follow God, and in following God and listening to God, we will outlast, outwit, and outplay these evildoers and workers of iniquity. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The promise of living in the land was a very important promise for the children of Israel who had come out of captivity from Egypt. During this time, food was challenging for them, and the promise to be fed was important. During the 40 years, the children of Israel were fed manna, and here was a promise to be fed in the land by trusting God and doing good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so, when we are living our life, there are things we have to do, and there are things we would like to do. And it's important that what we would like to do is very much aligned to what God would have us do. When we ask, and we ask that we may do something that is just very selfish and focused solely on ourselves, that's not a desire of the heart that God is likely to give us. When we think of how we fit in within our family, within our church, within our community, and with other people, and we have desires that look to improve the quality of life, that is something that God is much more likely to consider. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so there is this element of trust and faith in whatever we do. We cannot have this wild fantasy of what we would like to have happen. We have to trust in God, and we have to commit our ways unto God for things to happen. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. As we do good, the good that we do will not be hidden. We live in a world that is evil, and evil is a place of darkness. And personified as a place of darkness, whatever good that we do, even the smallest shimmer of light, beams forth brightly. Our judgment will be as the noonday. The only people who may not be observant of the noonday and the brightness of the noonday sun are those people who are asleep during the noonday. It could also be people who may be visually impaired. But people who can see the noonday and the brightness of the noonday, they will see it very easily. And that's what this verse means. That if we do good, if we trust in God, if we commit our ways, our righteousness, the good that we do, will be easily seen by others. And there's not going to be a question about that. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. As we wait, God will work with us in his time, not in the time frame we would expect. We do not need to worry about people who get ahead, even if those people who get ahead may appear evil to us. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In life, we're all going to be wronged. Nobody has a free ride forward without any freedom from having your feelings stepped on from other people. And when we have our feelings stepped on by other people, it's a normal feeling to feel angry. When we work very hard for something and whatever we've worked for is taken away from us, we can feel very angry about that. And we can let anger boil up to the point of wrath. Wrath is a very intense form of anger. And if we're going to be happy, we have to cease from anger. We have to totally get wrath out of our life. And in no way should we do evil. There's never an excuse in response to some harm that is brought upon us to, in response, do evil. Back in early August here in El Paso, there was this horrible mass shooting that took place. And allegedly the person committed this act to take vengeance on people who he didn't like for reasons that he had. That's totally evil and wrong. That's something we never do. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So here again we have this concept of those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth, and the evildoers shall be cut off. Those who harm, those who sin, those who make other people suffer, those are the people who are going to be cut off. Those are things we never want to do. if we bring harm to other people, that doesn't make us happy. The path to happiness is to wait upon the Lord and to wait for God to deliver us. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, they and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So we know that the evil are going to be with us for a while more. Here it says, a little while. The reality is, we don't know how long evil will exist and when the kingdom of God will be established here on earth. But whether the kingdom of God comes in a few years or at the end of our natural life, it's a little while. And if we delight ourselves in God and seek to follow His ways and commit ourselves to doing His will, then we will inherit the earth and we will inherit an abundance of peace. As Christians, we sometimes wonder, what is it we need to do so that we can be on this road to happiness? Remember, the concept of being blessed is simply to be happy. Let's take a look at John chapter 15, verse 9. We'll take a look at words that were spoken by Jesus. In verse 9, he said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And notice in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So Jesus kept the Father's commands and was kept in the Father's love. And Jesus has given us commands to follow. And if we keep those commands, we will abide in the love of Jesus. So what are those commands that Jesus gave us? Well, verse 12 gives us one. Verse 12 of John 15. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So a very simple command that we've been given in verse 12 is to love one another. As Christians, we're not here to judge each other. We are not here to compare ourselves to each other. We are here to have love for each other. And the commandments of God are really the pathway towards this love. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And so, the command from Jesus is to love one another, that we can go and bear much fruit, and that the fruit that we bear lasts and lasts and lasts. So in another gospel, the Gospel of Luke in verse 11, a woman was listening to Jesus, and maybe the woman was listening to this particular explanation he had just given his disciples. Maybe it was another set of parables. But in verse 27, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." So here the woman was expressing great admiration for the mother of Jesus. And that's a very common conception with many people who are Christian today, that the mother of Jesus is to be adored, admired, almost maybe even worshipped. The Bible does not speak to those things for the mother of Jesus. Notice what Jesus said in verse 28. Verse 28, "But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So the woman was very kind in pronouncing a blessing on the mother of Jesus, that she should be very happy for having given birth to the Savior of mankind. Jesus instead says, the blessing is given to those that hear the word of God and keep it. So two things have to happen to be happy in this situation. You not only have to hear the message of God, when you have to keep it. So there's an element of obedience, adherence, doing what we're told to do, even within the New Testament, even within the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said that we have to love one another. Here he says that we are happy if we hear the word of God and keep it. Paul was one of the more prolific writers of letters in the New Testament. Originally, he was Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians. He was a Pharisee trained in the scriptures and blinded on the road to Damascus. And in the book of Acts, Paul records for us in verse 32 of Acts 20, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified." And so, sanctified simply means set apart, made holy, made special. And so, we will equally have an inheritance among those who are set aside, holy, special by God. Verse 33, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me." Paul was a tent maker, and when he needed to support himself, he would make tents. But let's look at something he shares in verse 35. Paul, I suppose, could have taken from the brethren to support his ministry. I think there are many ministries out there that take from people when maybe they don't need to be taking from people. Let's look at verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive." So on the road to happiness, we come across several different concepts of happiness, especially when we're living in this present world that is influenced by Satan the devil. On any given day, I can look at an advertisement, either in a newspaper, online, on the TV, and get an idea of something that I could go out and buy for myself that might momentarily make me happy. I don't know that I necessarily need a 65 or 75 inch ultra high definition TV. I suppose if I went out and bought one of those, I would be temporarily happy as maybe I watched a sporting event or movie on that new TV. And there could be a certain level of happiness in that. But Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, it makes us happier to give than to get. So there is a blessing in getting. If you get something, it could make you happy. You know, if it's a birthday, an anniversary, a special event, and somebody surprises you with a gift, that could be a reason to be happy. But that happiness will be short-lived. There's a greater blessing and greater amount of happiness to be able to share what we've been given with others. When I have the ability to help other people, that's when it makes me the most happy. And there's a fine balance between helping other people and making sure you're able to take care of yourself. So we never should be ignoring our own needs or the needs of our family when we're thinking of helping other people. There is that fine balance. But there is this greater blessing, this greater amount of happiness when we give to others. God loves a cheerful giver. We'll conclude today by taking a look at a passage that Paul wrote in 1 Timothy on blessing, on happiness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So to be happy, follow righteousness, flee evil, follow godliness, follow faith, follow love, follow patience, follow meekness, fight for your faith. Grab hold of eternal life. That means it's not something that we already have. We have to grab hold of it. Verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So until Christ returns, Paul, in writing to Timothy, would have us do all of these things without ceasing. Verse 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potent, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It is Jesus Christ who is happy. It is Jesus Christ who has overcome this world. It is Jesus Christ who overcame Satan. It is Jesus Christ who lived amongst us as a physical man, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Our obedience to the teachings of Jesus, as Jesus obeyed the commandments of God, will lead us to this place of happiness. Our road to happiness involves obedience. A lot of people today think that the road to happiness, to this future time of salvation, is simply faith. They may think it's grace, but the Bible is clear that there is this element of obedience to be happy. Jesus Christ, verse 16, who only hath immortality. So of all the people who have lived on earth, it was only he who hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So Jesus is our model of future happiness. Jesus had a life that came to a very brutal end when he was sacrificed so that our sins could be covered. For some of us, there might be that future for us, but in the end, through obedience, not giving up on God, we will too have this future time of happiness. Verse 17. Some instructions given to those who have money. Here in the Western societies, we may not think of ourselves as being rich. There are some countries around the world that have much lower standards of living, and any amount of money that we might have that might be middle class, lower middle class, might seem ultra rich to people in other countries. So most of us, to a certain degree, have some level of financial richness in our life. So verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Just because we have been given things and stuff in life. I'm recording today's sermon on a desktop computer. Well, just because I have this desktop computer does not mean I'm better than somebody who doesn't have a desktop computer. All it means is somehow I was lucky enough to get this desktop computer, and it doesn't mean anything about who or what I am. It's just something that I happen to have in my life. Verse 18. And an instruction to the rich, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So sometimes people who are rich don't like to share what they've been given. And we don't know the financial status of other people. So not everyone who has things are in a position to share what they have been given. But we must always be ready to share, to distribute what we've been given. We must be willing to communicate. If we are high-minded, talking with other people may be beneath us. That's what high-minded means. Oh, I'm not going to talk to you. You're not my equal. The rich have to be willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so as we conclude today, we're reminded that eternal life is not something that is automatic for us. That it is something we have to lay hold on. That we have to grab it. That we cannot let it go. As we think about the kingdom of God and its future happiness, we are reminded of how somber and sober this present world can be. So right now we're in the sober, dark, depressing place called planet Earth. And we so desperately want this wonderful kingdom of God, which will be filled with happiness. We are on the road to that happiness. And the way that we get to that future time of happiness is by listening to God, following His commandments, following the commandments of Jesus as Jesus follows the commandments of God. Happiness is not necessarily something we're given. It's a choice in our actions. And one of the actions that we can choose to do is to give to others, remembering that it is always more blessed to give. In other words, it makes us more happy to give than it is to receive. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming up, and God willing, we'll be able to get together again on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, on the 14th of October on Monday, as well as the 8th day of the feast, the last great day on Monday the 21st. Thank you for joining us today. Until we meet again next time.